Yeah, it's no solidity to it. There's just it's constantly changing. The phenomenal world is the horizontal dimension of birth and death and time.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're seeking pleasure or happiness in things that are constantly changing and constantly moving, think about that. How can you, okay, I'm happy with something one moment, and as it changes, then I'm not happy, I'm dissatisfied that it changed. But it's nature to change, and it's actually because I'm searching for things outside of myself that are constantly changing, that I become, quote, unhappy, because I say, okay, my happiness will be in this new car. And then this new car is happiness for a little bit of time, but then it's like, oh, okay, yeah. Or it's not so much anymore. And then, and actually the advertisers, they feed on that. They know
Oh,
this.
yeah.
Like the latest, greatest thing you have to have, and this is going to provide you with some happiness. And then, of course, it does for a while until the next newest, latest, greatest thing comes out. And if you're in the mind identification and body-based existence of I have to have these things, they will never be satisfied. Never. And I believe Ramana Maharshi, he told a story about the fact that if I give you this pen, it's going to absolutely make you completely and totally happy. And then say, oh, I don't want to give you this pen. And your mind bothers and bothers and bothers and bothers. I want this pen. This pen is going to give me happiness. This pen, this object, this, I want this. I want this so bad. And then you come back and you say, listen, I'll give you 1,000 rupees for that pen. And contemplate, no. And then mind is torturing again. Oh, I really want this. This thing was going to bring me happiness. It's not fair. So finally, then the guru says, okay, here, have this pen. And for a time, there's complete and total peace. Oh, I have this pen. But what it is in reality is just the mind has stopped troubling about desiring this pen. The desire has ceased momentarily, because the object of desire has been attained, but it's false. And therefore, then it will outwardly look for another thing, and the mind will again say, oh, I want this thing, I want this thing, I want this thing. If you know
So
yourself in a. Go ahead.
if we look closely at this example, right? So first the idea are that bondage came. Okay, the belief that okay, if I have this particular thing, I'll be happy. Then the chasing has started. After chasing, acquiring the object, so it is not the true source of the happiness. So that eventually mind realizes, maybe subconsciously, but it's not the complete realization. So again, it goes back to the another object. So the first thing is the idea, the belief that it is giving the happiness. That attachment is coming. So, but if we look little closely, I believe the attachment is coming because I am taking myself as so and so, and I am taking myself as body and mind. So on
Yes.
top of this, only bandhas are formed.
Yeah, if I'm an object, then I want other objects. It's that simple. If I know myself in a real sense, then what's the sense of having objects? All objects are appearing within your spontaneous presence, so they're not so needy. You're not grabbing. Why? Why to grab? You know, if things come to you in your daily march and your daily activities, okay, good, good. You know, you go, you have some food, you want to eat nice food. Okay, eat nice food. Doesn't bother you. But this constant grabbing, absolutely, the desires in mind and flowing along with them. And the truth is, like we said, all of these things are coming and going. If you remain with yourself, the self, that's the stability you're seeking in the pleasure and happiness of outward things. That's the reality. What you're seeking in outward things for pleasure and happiness is only found within your own self, because everything is changing, but you are not changing. No matter what's happening, you can remain with your selfless self. And you can always find yourself as the background of every experience. All experience appears upon your spontaneous presence. So you find the background of every experience and just remain. And eventually you don't even have to do that because you are the background and all the experiences are happening and you watch them as scenes coming and going. Scenes are passing.
You know, it's amazing to me that we can have so many years of history, you know, thousands of years, and nobody, or very few people have actually learned that. You know, it's kind of an amazing thing because we keep on getting fooled by the same thing, you know, generation after generation.
Because the illusory concepts are so thick and all sticky concepts go on to those concepts and you get lost. The idea of remaining with your selfless self, being with bhajan and knowledge and mantra is to slowly, silently, and permanently erase the illusory concepts. Because we've spoken about before, in order to hang your hat, the hat of concepts, you need a hook. The hook is, I am somebody else. If you know yourself in a real sense, then you can picture it. You go to hang a hat on the wall and there's no hook, it falls to the ground. And the same with an illusory concept. There's no I am somebody else to whom this can stick. And that doesn't mean because so many people are, oh, materialist, that's so terrible. No, you want a new car? Buy a new car. But don't seek your happiness in the new car. Bring your happiness to the new car. Oh, I'm very happy. I'm happy if I get the car or I don't get the car. But I have this nice car. I'm very happy. Then I'm grateful. Thank you, Master. Thank you for this very beautiful car. Thank you. Or this nice promotion. Thank you, Master. Thank you. I got this promotion. I know there's no deed and no doer, so you are the doer spontaneously, and the promotion has happened within this illusory existence, and I'm quite grateful. Thank you. But I'm not attached. You know, you want to eat nice food? Eat nice food. Buy nice things? Buy nice things. But you're not attached to it, and you're very grateful. Thank you, Master. That's the one way to kill the ego of, look at me and how wonderful I am. Thank you, Master. Thank you. Yes, I had good food tonight. Thank you, Master. Yes, I have a nice car. Thank you, Master. Or yes, I have a car. Thank you, Master. But if I think that buying some new fancy latest iPhone is going to make me look really good and is going to bring me status because people will say, oh, look at John with this very nice iPhone, and then that'll bring me happiness. But see that, then people might say, well, that's a stupid thing. These iPhones, they'll go down in price in 6 months. So you're dumb for buying one at the full price. Then I'm sad. I'm depressed because, oh my goodness, I bought this phone so that you'd be impressed and now I look like a dum-dum and you don't think you're not impressed. Whereas if this phone, I like this phone, okay, I'll buy this phone. Okay, it's for me, but I'm happy. This phone doesn't add to or subtract from my happiness, or the car doesn't add to or subtract from my happiness, or the job doesn't add to or subtract from my happiness. I carry that happiness all the time because happiness is my true nature. Mm-hmm. I am undisturbed. Mm-hmm. Maharaj talks about money, publicity, sex. These are the things that humans try to seek in the illusory existence, happiness. And as he says, these are temporary painkillers. But the real, real is your own selfless self. And I love too how Maharaj says, everything to excess is poison. Mm-hmm. So if I shun material things, or if I shun relationships, or if I shun, you know, oh, I have to only be in this certain way. No, because then that spiritual ego comes out. I am a spiritual man. Look at me. And then if you don't look at me, again, I'm depressed. Because I'm renouncing. Don't you see me renouncing? You're supposed to think I'm one great spiritual guy because I'm renouncing all these things that I so desire, that I keep desiring, but I'm pretending to renounce so that you'll give me happiness by praise. And the vicious cycle.
Yeah.
I can't say it happens to me often, but on occasion I get like really patient. It's like, wow, I'm just like, my being is patience or something. It's like, wow.
It's good, but I use the example, if you're holding the door, your higher power will definitely kind of intervene in this way. You know, Sadhguru will come in and show you, oh yeah, you're not so patient as you think.
Oh yeah.
Because you hold the door and some people are coming out of the restaurant, but now a carload of people is parking and they're starting to walk towards you as these other people are slowly exiting. So now you're holding the door, and even worse, each one of the people that's exiting the car, they have gaps. So it's like the first person is kind of slowly coming, the second person is slowly coming. Yeah. Now a carload of their friends is also coming, and you're holding the door, and the mind is saying, what am I, a doorman?
That's one of those tests. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Because if it's truly spontaneous in the moment, then you won't be thinking how long to hold the door or when to hold the door. Or, okay, I held the door for these people and now I'm walking and that's that. Or I hold the door for a few, it'll be spontaneous and there won't be a deed and a doer. The deed and doer through mind of I'm doing this wonderful deed. This is the trouble.
Yeah.
Also the feeling of guilt, if you decided to walk away, your mind would be going, oh, but you should have been holding the door for the next group of people.
So exactly.
Torture going on.
Exactly. Exactly.
I remember one time way back, quite a few years ago, when I was in AA, working on my spirituality, and I was on a bus, and you know, I just had this feeling of well-being, and I felt like, wow, I'm invulnerable. Nothing can hurt me now. I see the truth. And then I like something happened. I moved and I bumped my knee or something, part of my body on the hard metal part of the bus. And it hurt a lot. And I thought, oh, geez, I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, you can count on the universe to show you the error of your ways.
Yeah, because you are that selfless self. It's manifesting in your own experience. And the ideas and concepts and beliefs that you're holding about yourself are sort of the telescope through which you're seeing the manifestation. And it's created spontaneously to give you this experience, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. It's sort of the perfection. In that, you see the perfection of everything. That there's like, you know, these lessons that come out of nowhere, but they're not, you know, they're tailored to you because they are you.
I think it's like what the Maharaj said, that life is the guru.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Always catches you.
Yes.
And it's nothing. You can't fool it. You can't.
Yeah.
Nowhere to go, nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
Yeah, the entire world appears in your spontaneous presence. And that's why taking yourself to be formless, then none of this can happen. Then there's no teacher or teaching or anything. It's just forms moving about within the formlessness that you are, speaking and listening without a speaker or listener, just kind of gliding, basically, with scenes appearing and disappearing. No local identification of I'm this somebody that all these things are happening to. Everything's coming and going. And last week we said about, okay, the seer. There's no seer, there's just seeing. There's no seer being created as I am seeing something. There's just clean seeing.
Fundamental problem is the false eye. So as long as this false eye is operating, then the waking world or whatever the dream world and the its content all appears real, and accordingly, you know, one is either victim or maybe a temporarily, you know, relaxed, but it is not true relaxed, to speak honestly. At conscious level, one may be relaxed, but again, in the background, a lot of things are running, and again, the chase will start. That will be surfaced out. So, events, you know, appears real because the false I. So, just for a moment, if there is no I, then one even doesn't know that one exists.
Well, an I can be there, but I is presence, and presence is in every being. So there's one. I is everything. And I is nothing, because it's no thing. I is presence.
But now this I is attributed to this five elemental body and mind, right?
That's just the misconception.
So that's where everything, you know, many things come in, you know, lot of conflicts, lot of arguments, lot of chasing, whatnot. All the, you know, hell lot of effort is there, but again, everything goes into the vein. This vicious circle is there because of not knowing in oneself in true sense.
Yes, you have to know yourself in a real sense in meditation. Through meditation, you know yourself in a real sense. And Master has told you, you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. That intuitively you know. Anything that came along with the body, body relations, body knowledge, body experience, is all illusion because you are not body. So now when we try to sit there and think about the spiritual knowledge and the spiritual speaking, that can all be tossed aside because it's just there to get you to your own self. It's impressing in you, as Maharaj says, all spiritual books say one thing only, accept your selfless self. There is no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. Nothing is there. So know yourself in a real sense, the selfless self, just I, the subtle sense of presence without anything. Oh, so that I am that. Now somebody wants to talk about religion. Okay, that's fine. Came along with the body. I can speak about it, but I know it's absolutely illusion. Somebody wants to talk about anything really, because every word came along with the body. Prior to the body, there were no words. So if I try to figure something out, well, that's not needed, because in order to figure something out, I have to use mind, ego, intellect, and those all came along with the body, and I'm not body. I'm prior. And then even the presence, okay, presence had to appear and be known as something. There's a subtle knower. Well, this that knew, did not know I exist suddenly knows I exist. And in that moment, a dream world is created, a manifestation, a waking dream world. And you, as an object within it, see other objects. That's the wrong perception. The right perception is just the subtle sense of existence is all there is. And even that is not true, because that which knew existence, or who that this I exist appears to, existed without knowing I exist. And that is the reality that you are. As soon as you know existence, then the concept of duality comes about. And then there's the form-based existence, where they talk about subject to object rather than the subject, because it's formless. Is formless I. I is presence. If I say I, that I should know, oh, that's everything. That's all of this manifestation is occurring within your spontaneous presence, occurring within you. I is presence that is in Rami and Andrew and Kathleen and Trish and myself and Martin and Keith and I forgot because we don't have the name there, the 703, but Beth. Beth, yes. Beth. There you go, Beth. So that same presence. And then there's the belief of illusory concepts that I'm somebody. I'm this lump of goo that's been fed and watered and been labeled John. But no, spontaneous presence. Just I. The razor's edge of reality, too thin for a you.
Yeah, even the concept of God comes along with the body.
Yes.
Because where was God before you took on a body?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, God is the label for your spontaneous presence.
Yeah.
So Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, God, Master, these are the labels for the spontaneous presence that you are. Remove the body, there's only presence. And that's why Maharaj gives the example of this body can no longer sustain the essence. It's a dead body. Throw it away. But within this body is that subtle, subtle presence moving it about and doing all these things and speaking and all of this, but it's formless presence. And this you know, because again, body, you're little child, then young man, old man, then like really old, and you are not aging. It's this body that's aging. You're formlessly witnessing this body instrument age without any. It doesn't touch you. And when the body falls, it doesn't touch you.
Yeah, Trish, did you hear that?
Yep.
Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, I mean, you know yourself in a real sense. You can sit in any moment and just use this body as an instrument to dip into that nectar of immortality, that presence, that consciousness, that I am, that I exist, subtle, subtle feeling, just I. Oh, so that I am that. So I can only sense that with a body, but that is all there is. Without a body, I won't know that sense of presence. I am that sense of presence without any kind of knowing of anything.
Yeah, you don't even know that you're knowing it.
Exactly. That's why we talked about last week about it's not like when we say nothing and you say, oh my God, it's like the torture that they put people in that little box and they cut off all their senses and they put them in water so that they have no senses at all, but their mind is still very active in that there's no sensory input, and it drives you absolutely insane. That's the torture. So when this body is no more, then the something that appeared within the nothing goes back to nothing, but there's no awareness of nothing because nothing is all there is. It's not like you are in that torture box, not having any input of any kind, but being aware. No.
Actually, I remember when I lived in San Francisco, they had these things and they were called samadhi tanks. And you paid money to do this. And you would get in these things and there would be a salt water, a solution that would keep your body floating. But that was the whole idea. It was a spiritual practice.
Yeah, I mean, they use that in torture in Guantanamo and stuff. So you're paying money for it.
It all depends on your orientation. It could be a spiritual practice. It could be torture.
Indeed.
That's why so many saints have come out of Guantanamo.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's kill it.
Perfect conversions.
Well, and like, see, that's also a very good example of temporary. Because, okay, maybe you had a samadhi experience because you were immersed in salt water and all your senses were cut off. But how does that benefit you when it's time to leave the body? Then Maharaj always says, will this knowledge be useful at the time of leaving the body? If you know yourself in a real sense, it absolutely, oh, this body's going. I am not going. I can go nowhere. I am everything in all things. And yet, this body-based existence is no longer going to be. You know, this instrument was on loan for a time called a lifespan. And now I give it back. Okay. It was fun playing in the illusion that wasn't true. It's not like John was having a life and actually losing the life. He was, what is all this coming here?
Are you seeing something?
Yeah, Rami says, I went to a place called on the eve of New Year, I was stoned there. It's a cheating.
Rami?
Oh, I hope you didn't mean that to be like private. I was just reading. Yeah,
so I don't know whether it's legal or not to cut these things.
To be stoned? No, drugs, not legal. But I mean, actually, nowadays.
No, you know, it's just really a simple thing. It's a weed. But, you know, these artificial inducers, these are like, you know, a cheating, you know, to, you know, come out of this day-to-day, you know, illusion.
It's not so much cheating because it's temporary. Just like the people who have their spiritual experiences with DMT or LSD or ecstasy, or any kind of drug-induced, you may sort of be with your selfless self in the moment of complete intoxication because your mind is not connected to your body or whatever through some kind of intoxicant, but this is temporary.
No, that's why I feel, you know, without solving the seeing the whole problem of false identity, so maybe, I don't know, this artificial induced state, I feel like it's like a cheating, but even, you know, it's like very temporary, and again, the whole problem will come and hit so strongly, maybe temporarily one is evaded from the, you know, normal flow of thoughts, or not that ceases for a moment, or the mind activity is reduced a bit. So this reduction in the mind activity or this slowness is being taken as, you know, peace. But to speak honestly, still mind is operating Yes, many, there is a kind of forgetfulness of the many concerns. But these concerns are not going anywhere. There's just forgetfulness. So there is no identity for a moment with respect to those, but they are not going anywhere. So yeah, that means this is not giving the real solution.
Not at all. And remember too, even if you're in meditation and you know yourself in a real sense, as Maharaj says, you can fall back into the illusory ditch very easily if you don't remain with your selfless self. So you may have taken some substance that totally expanded your mind and you feel the presence and you're like, wow, I've just met God. But it passes. Life starts to creep in. You don't have any kind of foundation. The strong foundation is with meditation. I know myself in a real sense. Like, I know this. So that I am that. And that is all there is. And nothing can shake that. But if you have some kind of experience because of intoxication, very easily somebody can say, oh, you know, it wasn't real. And other people have said that same thing. Just like the near-death experiences, people come back and they talk about all these different things. And then people say, well, you know, the mind was doing this and it's the last little bit of energy that's in the mind and this and that. So it can easily fall back into an illusory ditch because you haven't given up the concept of I am somebody else having a spiritual experience. There is no experience, no experiencer. No matter how many intoxicants you use for this body, that will remain the truth. No experience, no experiencer. The entire world is on your spontaneous presence, a projection. You are all there is, except your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. Nothing is there.
I guess if you really get the nothingness, there's nothing to desire something.
Exactly. You have to be a something to want something.
Yeah.
The space in the room has no desire for any of the objects in the room. So a diamond and a lump of coal would be exactly identical to the space.
Yeah. It doesn't need anything because what would it need if it's nothing?
Exactly. Formlessness. That Maharaj says you weren't born with pockets. It's the same thing. You know? You have a desire to go out and acquire because I am somebody else who desires things.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I lose my peace. Because I'm disturbed with the concept of desiring things. And these things are coming and going. That's why in the Bible it talks about don't store up things that rust. Store everything into the heavenly things. And it's the same thing. Everything in this world is a conglomeration of the five elements and will fade. But you are not an element.
You know, that, I just wanted to say, I sort of realized something. There's like, you know, one of the things about the death of the body, anyway, for me, it was like, well, what's been left undone? And then I realized, well, if it's all a dream, what does it matter if something was undone? You know, that's the sort of thing that brings people back into, I don't know, some subtle world or whatever they, you know, if it's an unfinished energy or something like that. But then if you really get that it's all illusion and it's all the dream, then what does it matter if something was undone? If you, I mean, if you never got to go to Paris, you know, in your deathbed, you're like, oh, I never got to go to Paris. You know, it's like the realization that that's all part of the dream, and it's not enough to keep you in a body.
And you're formless. So yeah. Going to Paris, you are there now. Paris is appearing within you.
Right.
That's why we talk about like, oh, we have to go to India. And Maharaj says, you don't have to go to India to be with the guru because you're formless. Only if you have a local identification. And a Maharaj also says, if you go around all India trying to find gurus, all you're doing is dragging this body. Think about that. It's like a sack. And you're dragging it here and there, but you're formless. And when you know you're formless, there's no need to go running here and there or dragging this body around because you're formless. Mm-hmm. India is within you. America is within you. France is within you.
Yeah. It's like there are two ways. Either you made it to Paris and you're satisfied on your deathbed, or you realize it was all an illusion. So either way, you get to the same place. which you know, if there's peacefulness at a person's, what do you call it? You know, their maha samadhi, then, you know, they've realized that on some level, or they have lived to the hilt. Maybe they've done everything. But if you take that route, there's always the thing chance that you miss something, in which case it brings you back anyway.
Yeah, the former solution is not the complete solution, but the later one is complete.
Yeah,
when you know yourself in a real sense, in any moment, you can find yourself as the background of the experience. If you're laying in a hospital bed and the doctor says, well, you know, you're not going to make it through the night, or I don't know the doctors would actually say that, but let's say they did. And you would just remain the background of every experience. Just remain with yourself, with self. Because that drowns out thought. That drowns out any concept that you're losing anything. That drowns out mind is not there. And then this doctor will say, oh, at 12:01 you passed, but you won't know this. And your last experience will just be with your selfless self. And that's it. As long as this body instrument is available, you can feel the presence. You can feel that sense of I exist until you do not. But you're not thinking about that, because when you remain with your selfless self, it's like a time freeze, basically, where nothing is. No thoughts are coming in. No thoughts about not having thoughts are coming in, because you just remain. And it's available right now, because that you are. And that's why in the background of every experience, you are, because all experience appears on spontaneous presence. So in any given moment, using this body as an instrument, you can dive back into yourself. Oh, so that I am that. No thinking, no subject object, because you're not creating an object. There's just selfless self-intoxication, Maharaj calls it.
Yeah, there's something in this Nisargadatta book I'm reading. It's called Meditations with Nisargadatta, and it goes into some detail about things. And it he says that whatever's in the mind, or whatever in the last moments, determines what happens after death, or something like that. That it's like the guy with the business who wanted to have his sons, and because he called them Ram and Shiva or whatever, and then the last minute his thought is about his business, because they were both at his deathbed, and it's like, well, you know, what happened to the business? So that was his last thought. And then, you know, I don't know what that means exactly. I guess it's like somehow that determines the future of the being, or I don't even know how I could do that since there's no being there.
Yeah, it's all a concept. And just like if you take yourself, if you take yourself as a body form, then, and Maharaj states this very clearly, if you believe you're a form, then these form-based concepts will trouble you. Yeah. When you know yourself in a real sense, then when somebody talks about rebirth or reincarnation or any of these things, you have to laugh because, well, what's to be reborn? Nothing was born in the first place. So to have rebirth from the unborn that wasn't born, the unborn is having the concept of being born and now is having the concept of being reborn. And that's Maharaj uses the example of, if I give you poison, then you're freaked out. Oh my God, I drank this. This person gave me poison. I'm going to die. But then you go to another person and they say, no, don't worry. Drink this and you won't die. And so one concept removes another concept. So as long as you feel that you're an individual and that somehow when this body leaves, you're going to be this individual something reincarnating as a fly and then getting smashed and then reincarnating as a mouse and then getting eaten by a cat or something like this. This is all nonsense because you're formless. And that's why, too, they talk about it's easier in the beginning to worship the masters in the photographs or in their places in the ashram or something, because you believe you're a body. You believe you're an individual. And so it's very hard to worship your own selfless self or to worship Maharaj as this selfless self. You need an image to bow to, so that because I believe I'm something, I need something that I'm bowing to. And as long as you believe you are something, then it's absolutely, I think Siddharameshwara Maharaj says this, it's absolutely proper to believe in a God with attributes and to worship a God with attributes if you truly believe that you're something. When you know yourself in a real sense, none of that makes sense. It will be spontaneous, selfless self-devotion. And the picture may be there, but it is not needed because you know Maharaj is this selfless self. And I am this selfless self because selfless self is all there is. There is no individuality. And once this is known, then we talked about last week, the waking dream and the dream, the barrier of these being separate disappears. Because you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. The dream consciousness and this world that we're seeing in the waking consciousness is absolutely one and the same consciousness. The only division is by me believing I'm dreaming or I'm awake. Neither is true.
This knowledge has to become conviction. So that's that. Conviction comes through the meditation, right?
Yes. Yep. And at first you can identify that sense of presence as the guru, as Sadguru, as Maharaj, whatever you want to do, or God. You could say, oh, okay, this is God. This is God. And worship that as the God. And then eventually this sense of presence is going to, it's going to like dissolve the world. I mean, it's going to, then you won't need to identify with anything because this little subtle identification that you have with something will dissolve within your own self. And there won't be you trying to get anything or trying to remain with yourself because this illusory concept will have dissolved. And it will, you will no longer have this idea.
and there's also no mechanism to produce another illusion.
Yeah, because again, remember, illusion just means that which is not. So there won't be another that which is not, because there isn't a that right now. That's why we say Maya, illusion, that which is not.
But there's something now that's producing this illusion.
Concepts and belief in being a body form.
Yeah, but the, what I wonder is, doesn't that, does that stop at the physical death? Or is there still some kind of energy there that keeps on projecting something if it isn't realized that there's nothing?
It's constantly projecting everything, but it's just not individualized. All of this is arising on spontaneous presence, but there's no individual through whom presence is arising. The individual is within presence. The body is within presence. It's not the other way around.
Each of us are like a little telescope, as you said, I think.
Yes, to see inside the manifestation. Basically, to experience the manifestation without an experiencer, because you're formless. Again, you're all there is. So with the sense of existence came the concept of duality and the ability to know yourself. You can't know yourself if there's not something other through which you can know yourself. If it is just you, then there's no ability to know anything, and or there, because there's nothing. But with the sense of existence, you can experience the concept of duality and know yourself, and as an object, know other things. Then you know and understand all of these are within the formlessness that you are. Because you go to master, and master says, meditation, come to know that subtle sense of presence, and the entire world is projected on that. So then you sort of unwind the world. You wound up the world by, I exist as something, there are other somethings. You unwind the world in the similar fashion. I am not a something, therefore there are no somethings, therefore it's just I, and this sense of existence has appeared to that which existed and didn't know existence. The moment I knew existence, I knew so many things. The moment I no longer know existence, I will know nothing, because there is nothing other than myself to know.
So that brings up the question of, is this life some kind of privilege that allows you to experience or to know yourself in a real sense, like you say, or is it a curse? Because you, if you don't make it, it becomes a suffering. So it's, I guess I'm trying to get at, what is it that causes this illusory existence in the first place? Why don't we just continue to be in bliss in the nothingness? And, but yet, so is it like a, some kind of privilege that you get to come here and you get to realize yourself in physical form, which is some kind of sanctification of the form, it seems to me, when it's realized to be nothing and that it's just a manifestation of the divine, and that's the journey. And so then something gets transformed or something, and then you go back into the nothingness.
All illusory concepts.
Yeah.
What happens?
Well, I thought it was pretty clever.
No, but I'm saying,
that was said so nicely, Kate. That was said so nicely.
At nighttime, at nighttime, when there's deep sleep, and then suddenly there's a stirring, I exist, boom, a dream world is projected.
Yeah.
Was it some blessing that I was given a dream body and moved around in a dream world?
No.
All of these people that are in that dream, were we somehow blessed to not be flies in that dream?
Oh, no.
It's a spontaneous happening. I exist. Boom. Consciousness creates.
I guess the mind wants to put some kind of purpose on it, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
That is the problem.
Because it needs to have validity if it actually exists, but there is no existence.
Mind can't tolerate the meaninglessness of the life.
Yeah, because, and that's why we said that last vestige of ego is, okay, now I know there's this subtle sense of presence. That's all there is. It's so deep. But then the mind says, so John, your life was meaningless. Everything you've ever done meant nothing. And when you die, then that's it. Like, what was the point?
But that's what Mara says, sir.
That's from the perspective of being a limited I am somebody else, and it's not true. There never was a John. There was presence, imagining, and playing within the spontaneous presence. And that's where it has to, when it clicks, that it's finished, because there isn't a John. There was no John's life. John is a phenomenon, a character that comes and goes. Nothing.
It's all imagination, right?
Yeah, so John's not, the presence is not losing anything by having John in the illusion or by having John no longer in the illusion. It doesn't matter. You can think of it as you don't exist. So how can this thing that does not exist, how could it have had a futile life? You're unborn.
Yeah.
And there's
what's the purpose of manifestation? What's the purpose of manifestation?
Oh God, again chicken problem.
But again, this is there's no manifestation.
It's all the dream.
The unmanifest, knowing existence produces manifestation through a concept of I exist. But that existence doesn't need to know I exist. And when it does, boom, dream world is created. The separation between your dreaming at night and your waking world is this body. Because you separate it by saying, I am dreaming or I am awake. But you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. So all of these experiences that are occurring within the bubble of illusion, within the consciousness, are not true. And there's no reason. Reason is for mind. Mind wants to figure it out. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? How's this happening? Oh, you know what? There's some higher power. There's God who's administering all this world. There's formless presence in this world is not. You are not. And only you are.
Sort of like the cosmic joke, I guess.
Well, it's why you're here, enjoy.
Well, I mean, maybe Epicurus was right. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Well, and they talk about everything under the sun is for naught. I forget what guy in the Bible said that, but he was saying, so all of this under the sun is for nothing.
Ecclesiastes.
There you go.
The book of Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes is also to everything, there is a reason. What is it? There is a season.
A season for everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Not a reason, a season. And yeah, as long as you have this body.
One letter makes a difference.
You have, if as long as you have this body available, then you're going to see a world. However, when you know yourself in a real sense, there won't be this construct of world through mind. There will just be seeing. It'll just be whatever is needing to be done in the moment. It's done, it's finished. Pick up the water, drink it, put it down for everything.
It's so simple. The mind doesn't want to accept something so simple.
What not to accept, what to accept is absolutely up to you.
Yeah.
These thoughts come and go, and by picking and choosing a thought based on the concept of I am somebody, and this thought is important to me, yeah, there's trouble.
Yeah.
The thought, oh, look, there's no food in my refrigerator. I should go to the store. That causes no trouble because there's no identification in it. It's a simple process.
All right. Except if you beat yourself up because you didn't think about going to the store earlier, because now you're going to have to deal with the crowd.
Okay. Well, yes, yes. There you go.
Yeah, that's my mind. You're so stupid. You didn't go to the store at the right time. Anyway, but it's 8:15.
Oh, it is indeed. Okay. Yes, yes. All right.
Thank you,
Guru. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.